Well, good morning, church. Good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're watching this, I hope you are doing well. And if you're watching this right now on Sunday, I don't know what you're doing. Are you in your sweatpants drinking coffee? Are you just chilling at home? Do you have a bunch of people at your house? Whatever you're doing, I hope we can just invite each other into a conversation right now and talk a little bit about joy. So for the last 4 or 5 weeks, we have been doing this collection of talks on joy. We started with Nick and Mark and then Jill. We took a little break and heard from our amazing leadership training school students just about the end of their program and the end of the year. And then I, of all people, have to wrap up this message. Now, me, Mark, and Nick sometimes have a joke that we like Jill to wrap up the message so she can fix all of the stuff that the boys said. But for some reason, I have been elected to finish up. So I hope you have watched when Nick and Mark and Jill talked about joy. And I don't want to say anything brand new that they haven't said. I just want to add to the conversation and add on top of everything that's going on. But I encourage you, if you haven't watched those, go back and look at watch those or listen to those, however you do that. And we just really want to engage in joy and what does it mean to be filled with joy. But I also want to be really honest. I preach sometimes, and this collection that I'm about to talk with you, I've actually probably spent more hours dealing with this than any other talk. I've erased this talk 3 or 4 times, and it's been really difficult, really honestly, to write because of what's happening around the world. And one thing I'm going to say later is that joy shouldn't be affected. Our joy shouldn't be affected by everything going around in the world. But I just feel like this week, if I'm honest, I sat down and I started typing, and I actually just put my phone on a voice memo, and I just started speaking what was in my heart. And I typed up everything I said, and it just started with the phrase, and I just want to start my message like this. It just said, friends, to be honest, I don't want to preach this week. I've got nothing left in me to communicate. That nothing inside of me has anything new to say, and actually any words I have just feel meaningless, and they're just going to fall short of anything worth saying. And everything that's happening around the world with pandemics and racism and protest and looting, it just feels like there's so much noise out there. So what can a little 31-year-old British guy have to say anything new? But on the side of that, I feel like I've been given a gift to communicate. And I actually feel like joy is something I'm very, very passionate about. So I hope you give me grace as I just kind of sprue all of this out from my heart. And I hope today gives you value and that it leaves you different than when we started this video. And that your priorities through the week and your goals for your week or your day or even maybe your life are slightly edited because we can look at it through the lens of the joy of our Creator. So from very early on in my life, since I was young, I've been told that I was someone who was carrying joy and that I would raise the joy level of others around me. And so it's something I'm very passionate about. But it's also something I really struggle with. I sometimes try and find joy on my own, and I try and like conjure up this joy from nowhere on my own, and it just doesn't happen. And one of the first messages I did at this community at the River Church was entitled, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? And I challenged our community, and some of you remember this, I challenged our community that some of us have joy so far down in our heart that we just don't even see it anymore. That you talk about that you're in love with Jesus who ultimately will bring us joy, and we'll get there in a second. But all I see is that you're busy and you're stressed and you're tired every day, and I'm a victim to that. So where is this joy that Christ should bring us? In fact, every Tuesday and Wednesday night when our young people and our teenagers gather, the people who help lead that community, we go into the back room full of the graffiti and we hold hands as a sign of unity and we pray a simple prayer. Jesus, would you raise the joy level in our hearts so that we can raise the joy level of others? And we've been praying that, I think, for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's become a mantra to us. And it's hard to talk about to joy without me saying the phrase, raise the joy level. You heard Jill say this a couple weeks ago, but my mom has done papers, and I think you call it a thesis, and she's got this like book almost about joy. And it's something that as she is my mother, that we have spent a lot of time dealing with. And it's actually something we both struggle with because we really want it at the forefront of our life. But when I told you that I didn't really want to preach this week, what I meant was I don't really want to talk about joy. I just interviewed, and some of you might have seen it, it went up early in the week, I just interviewed my dear friend Trey, who's an African-American friend of mine, and with everything going wrong around in the world, we just had an open conversation, and it just breaks my heart of what's happening around the world with so much injustice through many different streams. So why on earth did your leadership team decide to talk about joy right now? But I'll challenge that, actually saying, of all times, there's talk about joy right now. Because if Christ is really in us, and one of the fruits of that is joy coming out of our lives, and that other people know that we're Christ followers by the way we treat each other, joy should be actually at the forefront of that. Yes, injustice has passion. Yes, we should be concerned what's going around the world, and we should stand up for the marginalized and the people who are oppressed, and we should kick racism in the face. But through that, this kindness and joy should be paired with it with a loving hug as we do it at the same time. So instead of just Googling joy and just trying to find scriptures that had joy and kind of preach down that way, instead I actually just sat down and just started to read the Gospels. I actually read the book of Romans and the book of Hebrews. And when it said joy, I just stopped and studied that bit. And this is what I found through those six books of reading. That every time it talked about joy, it was paired with two words, and I found it fascinating. It either talked about joy with the good news, or it talked about joy in the essence of strength and power. And let me unpack that for you a little bit. A lot of time we talk about it at Christmas. We talk about when the angels came down, and they said, I bring you good noise of, not good noise, I bring you good news. It was a lot of noise because it should be a lot of noise, but I bring you good news with great joy, because good news should be joyful. And that was the best news ever, that the king had put on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And every other time I found joy, it talked about how joy was our strength, or when we have power in Christ, when our character gets developed, joy will come out of us, and that's the power that can carry the gospel, yet again, the good news of Christ. So there's something about joy and the joy center inside of us that's paired with strength and power. And so here's my first question to you. Do you feel like you have a relationship with God? If so, how much energy are you putting into that relationship? Because I think I can go on record to say that if you're not investing into your relationship with Jesus, like we need to invest in all of our relationships, but if you're not spending time with him, maybe you actually have low energy towards Christ. Maybe you don't really have a desire to get to know the man and the humanity that is Jesus. And if you have low energy towards God, what the scriptures actually point out is if we have low energy, if we have low strength towards God, that actually our joy level will be very low. But when we increase our intentions with Christ, we actually get strength. And through that strength, joy is permitted out of our lives and out of our mouth, and hopefully out of our actions, right? And so I just want to give you two bits of scripture, one towards the end of the New Testament and one right in the middle that talks about joy and Jesus. Two of my favorite topics to talk about. So in Hebrews 12, verse 2-3, let's just read that and unpack it a little bit. So it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially that sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run the race with endurance that God has set before us. And here it is. This is how we do it. This is the answer. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting before him, he endured the cross. Disregarding shame, he is now seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. The crazy thing about this, guys, is that when Jesus was on the cross, a man who was beaten, abused, laughed at, a man who was on the cross after he committed no crimes at all, a man who knew he was going to be on the cross, a man that spent his life with the marginalized, a man who spent his life dealing with racism. Yes, racism is in the Bible. He even calls out his disciples for being racist. A man who was living his life as the example found himself on the cross And it says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Why are we talking about joy when Jesus is on the cross? Before I answer that, let's skip to John. One of my favorite books, if I'm allowed to say that, as someone in ministry. John 15:9, it goes like this. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Wow. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. You see, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You see, he says that Jesus said these things. John himself, a dear friend of Jesus, is writing these words that Jesus said. He says that as I have been loved, I will love you. And then it says that you will be filled with my joy. This is Jesus talking, my joy, and that your joy will overflow. And let me just unpack this and hopefully just see the perspective for this for a moment. The reason we can find joy in Christ is based on this one issue. Jesus endured the cross because he wanted a relationship with you. And that is his joy. That's where joy comes from. Joy has come because Christ himself was in deep desire to have a friendship with you. So he endured the cross to reconcile the relationship between humanity and him. And this wasn't human, this was humanity. And as of the 12 disciples, and I've said this every time, and I hope I will keep saying it, of the 12 of the close followers of Jesus, only one we believe was at the foot of the cross. So the people he spent the most time with, most of them abandoned him. And you see, I believe that Jesus is and that Jesus was the most approachable person ever because of his love and joy. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus spent time with the marginalized. Why would marginalized people who have been told that they were ill, that they're sick, that they're clean, that they're dirty, or that they're sinful their whole life, why would they flock to Jesus? Why would they follow him? It's because he was approachable, because the joy and the love inside of him came out, and the real humanity of Jesus was alive in those present moments when he was here on earth. I know that me and Pastor Mark have preached about this verse a lot, about Peter walking on the water the first time with Jesus, and then when Peter swam towards Jesus after the first time he saw Jesus after he resurrected. And it hit me like a truck the other day when it said that Peter jumped out the boat and swam towards his rabbi. I just read that bit over and over again. A man who denied Jesus, was full of shame, went back to his old ways. As soon as he saw Jesus, he abandoned his post. He abandoned probably one of the biggest catches of fish that maybe they've ever seen. And he swam straight towards Jesus and embraced him. Why? Because Jesus is the most approachable person ever. You see, when we know who Jesus is, and it talks about this in Galatians 5, when it says, when Jesus is inside of you and his spirit is inside of you, the fruit, not the fruits, but the fruit of Jesus being alive in you, in Galatians 5 talks about love, and then it goes straight to saying that joy will be a fruit. And if we look at John 15 together, when it talks about the root of our faith is found in Jesus, and that he is the root and the vine, only a healthy root and a healthy vine produces fruit. So if you're not seeing fruit of Christ being inside of you, maybe there's something wrong with the root. Maybe you need to go back to the root of the issue and spend time with Jesus himself. And when you develop a healthy root and you focus on your relationship with Jesus, the fruit of that relationship will just be abounding. And that the world will know us because of our joy and our love. It's all over the scriptures. And I kind of want to say this and address everything going on in the world. That Jesus went to the cross so he could have relationship with us. That is where joy bubbles out of. That is the joy center. When I understand who Jesus is, the joy will just be obvious. But can I go on record, and you can quote me for this, till kingdom come, because this is at the heart of the kingdom. I've heard a lot recently, everyone's talking about, I've got the right to do this. I have the right to not wear a mask. I have the right to wear a mask. I have the right, da, 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 da. Can I tell you one of the rights of the kingdom? Everyone has the right to bow down at the foot of Jesus' cross. Everyone has the right to bow down in front of Jesus and say that you are my true king. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. I mean me. I mean everybody in this room. I mean you watching at home. I mean my friend who's black, who's called Trey Price. I mean George Floyd. I even mean the officer Derek, who committed murder in that moment. I mean the president of this country. I mean the queen. I mean my prime minister. I mean everyone has the right. And I said this to my students the other day. It's an equal playing field. It's not about your position. It's not about your power. It's not about your status or even your performance that gives you the right that we have to look at Jesus at his feet is the free gift of grace that he has given us. That's what the gospel is. And if that doesn't make joy bubble up in your heart at the same time as getting on your knees, I don't know what will. That we've been given the free gift of grace, and that through that, which we did not deserve, joy will bubble out. Yes, should justice be served here on the earth? Absolutely. Should we fight for the oppressed? Should we stand up against injustice? Yes, till the day we take our last breath. But our King, the one true King, is the judge. And that when we leave this skin and bones, and on the other side of the grave, we will be met with the true judge who has said, there is an equal playing field, and you are all my children, and you all have the right. So joy, right? How do we end this topic on joy? I actually believe that we have low energy and a weak relationship with God. That when we do have weak energy, when we have low energy towards God, our joy will be low. And I want to end with this. If you want joy in your life, not happiness, not fleeting fun things. I bought a couch the other day. It was fun, and now it's just my couch, right? But joy, if you want joy, I think it's being honest with yourself and saying, this is where I stand. This is my grossness. This is all the junk I come with. This is how I have marginalized people. This is how people have marginalized me. This is my thoughts towards this one person. This is my unforgiveness towards this person. This is my racist view on this. This is when I've discriminated this person. This is why I'm frustrated with all these people. When you bring all that to the table and you say, Jesus, this is me, that's when he says, welcome, come follow me. And at your deepest, darkest moments, in all of that junk, he says, come, come follow me. And then it's our opportunity to say yes, and it's an equal playing field. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter how you've acted in your job, your performance, your status. If you have influence, if you don't have influence, I'm a believer that we all have influence. So it's just a mindset. Whatever our mindset is, whatever you've done or you're currently doing, you have the right to kneel in front of your King. And he will say, here's a free gift. The gift is a relationship between me and you, and it's individual as well as the most corporate thing ever. That is the King that we follow. And that is the upside down kingdom that we actually are called for. Is it cool if I just pray for you for a moment? And then we'll just end the service here. Jesus, I love you. And I know that you're hurting. The world that you created, your children, if we allow to use that cliche Christian word, which is so true, but your children are fighting each other. Your children are killing each other. Oh God, would you have mercy on us? But Jesus, I know that there's people who are watching from home or however they're watching this or listening to this. I know that there is struggle and there's pain, but I also know that the pain is part of being alive. And Jesus, of all people, you've experienced that pain. You understand what it's like to be marginalized. You understand what it's like to be beaten, literally beaten to death. And Jesus, through all of that, you said that you endured all of that for the joy set upon you was to have relationship with us. That's the single greatest gift that we will ever be given. So if there's people right now, Jesus, watching this, and they don't know what it's like to have a true relationship with you, let's just have a moment with that and just say, if you are watching this and you have a desire to have a relationship with Jesus, could you just simply say in your own words right now that that's what you want to do? I believe that you have to do something physical to express your confession or the relationship you want with Christ. And if there's people watching this video and they already have a relationship with you, but this desire to go to the next level, Jesus, would you meet them like you always do where they're at? That through all the junk, that you'll meet them. Jesus, I'm actually in deep belief and persuaded deeply that you meet with people at their lowest moments, that you find the marginalized, you find the oppressed. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for giving us all the equal right at your feet, no matter our name, our color of our skin, our status, our performance, our nationality, what we have done, what we were doing, or what we're going to do, that you've just said, welcome, come follow me. You're the king that I didn't deserve, but the king I need. I love you, Jesus, and I hope that this week, that this joy, that this strength will come out of us in our actions, in our Facebook comments, in our words, and probably most important, in how we listen and hear those around us. We love you, Jesus. We love you because you loved us first. In your mighty name, we pray this. Amen. Guys, have a great Sunday and take care.
Oh, man. Well, thanks, Andy, for that message. And what you have shared with us is so important and so for right now. I love the point and the idea that we all have the opportunity, equal opportunity, to come to the cross, the right, as Andy said. And it doesn't matter who you are or what status you have, we all can go to the cross. And with that in mind this morning, I want to take a little bit of time and have communion with you. And if you've got your stuff together, got your juice, your cup, or in your bread, your Cheez-Its, whatever it is that you have, let's take a moment and reflect on this very fact. We all have the right to go to the foot of the cross where Jesus paid that price for you and for me. So I've got my little stuff here. But let me read some scripture, because this is what it's about. As we do communion together, let's just take this moment and reflect on what Jesus did for us. So it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 23, it says this: the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So when we eat this, when we take this little wafer, your bread, whatever it is, when we take this, let's remember what Jesus did for us. He was beaten. He was marginalized. He was ridiculed. He was spit on. He was just made to the most lowest of low points. And yet he did all of this for you and for me so that we could have the right to come to the foot of the cross. So can we just take a moment and give thanks to the Lord before we take this morning? Let's just take a quick moment of silence, and I want you to just get your heart ready. Get yourself ready for this. And just if there's things that are on your heart that you know you've blown it before, you've messed up, confess them. Give them over to the Lord and just ask him to take those and forgive you, because that's what the cross is all about. Forgiveness. That's what God's desire for that relationship, that reconciled relationship. It is about freedom. It is about forgiveness. It is about no longer having the shame, having to carry that for the rest of your life. So let's just take a moment, and then I'll pray, and then we'll eat this, all right? Let's do that. God, thank you so much for your son. And Jesus, thank you for taking our place. It's a very serious act of love that you performed for us, that you would allow yourself to be beaten, ridiculed, spit on, crowns of thorns, all of that stuff. God, you allowed your son to do that. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for doing that. As we take this morning, we do remember your body, which was broken for us. And we say from the depths of our hearts, thank you. Take and eat. So, moving on really quick, it says, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this is the new covenant. This blood that was spilled represents the new life that we can have with God forever, this reconciled relationship. Because of this blood spilled, we now can have eternal life with the Father in heaven. So let's just thank him for that, and then let's take this cup together. Lord, I thank you for the blood that was spilled. I thank you for this new covenant that allows us to have a reconciled relationship. All people, no matter who they are, no matter who we are, all people now can have a reconciled relationship with you if we so choose. God, thank you so much for this new life that you bring us. Jesus, this sacrifice that allows us this new life and this freedom. We love you and praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. We'll take a drink. Well, you guys, hey, thank you so much for this morning. Andy, again, thank you for your word. Danny, that song you wrote, it is awesome. And Mark and Kristen, Drew, thank you for the worship that you brought this morning. We are so grateful. Hey, if you have anything that you want prayed for this morning, I want to just encourage you to put your comments in the comment areas below. If you want to give your life to the Lord today, please let us know that. As Andy offered that opportunity, I'm gonna just re-offer that opportunity. If you want to know Jesus today, would you comment? We want to get in touch with you. We want to pray with you, and we just want to celebrate this new life with you that you want to have today. Well, I hope that you will just continue to press in and encounter the joy that God has for you. I'm looking forward to next week as we are getting together. All of the speaking team, we're getting together. We're going to sit down and we're going to just discuss all of the things that are going on, from COVID to riots and race stuff, as well as bringing joy into the situation. So I look forward to next week, and I want to invite you to come back as we worship and just engage in a conversation together. So please join us next week. Guys, I love you. I'm glad that you were with us today, and thank you for continuing to tune in and be a part of TRC Online. I hope that the rest of your day is awesome, and we'll see you again right here next week at 9:30. God bless.